Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and indeed this is a very, very propitious moment and a very exciting time. We are about to begin the last Mishnah, Mishnah Tet, of the 10th Perek of Masechet Bava Batra, or more properly, the 30th and final Perek of Masechet Nezikin. And after well over a year of studying Daf Yomi together, we are now concluding our study of Masechet Nezikin. And in the very next podcast, we'll begin the next phase of Seder Nezikin with Masechet Sanhedrin. But in the meantime, let us conclude our study properly and celebrate appropriately. Hamal v'chaveru b'shtar govim nechasim mishubadim. If somebody lends money with a shtar, then he can collect from nechasim mishubadim. Al yedei edim, meaning that it's an oral debt and all we have is edim but no shtar, then govim nechasim b'nechorin. Then you can only collect from property that is free and clear, owned by the loave, and not anything that he subsequently sold or gave away and is in anybody else's property. We're going to see why immediately in the Gemara. Now we have two other examples of circumstances where you can only collect from b'nei chorin, property that's free and clear. First of all, and we saw this a couple podcasts ago, if you pull out a text that has the writing of the signature of the debtor, that he says he owes you, and there's no edim, govern chosim b'nei chorin. You can collect, but you can only collect from b'nei chorin, of course. Arev ayotze l'achachit mishtarot. If you have an arev that's signed underneath the edim, in other words, you have a shtar, I'm chayev money to you, here's the edim, we'll sign, and then underneath that you have the arev, then govern chosim b'nei chorin. You can only collect from b'nei chorin. Ma'aseh uval lifnei Rabbi Shmuel. There was a case of a shtar like that that came to Rabbi Shmuel. V'amar govern chosim b'nei chorin. He said exactly what we just said. You can collect from b'nei chorin. Amar lo ben Nanas. So Shimon ben Nanas said to Rabbi Yishmael, Eino govel lo menachosim shubanim lo menachosim nechorin. You cannot collect at all if you have an orev signed on after the edim, not from shubanim, not from nechorin. Amar lo lama. So Rabbi Yishmael said, why? Amar lo, if he gave him an example, a sort of an analogy. Hare hachonek et achad bashuk. Let's say a guy is choking another guy in the shuk. Umetzao chavero. And another fellow's, the guy's choking the guy in the shuk because he owes him money. And he's not paying him. And another fellow comes and finds this happening. Leave him alone, I'll pay you. Patur. The guy is, the fellow who intervened is Patur. And his reasoning is as follows. The fellow didn't originally lend the money based on the trust of this outside guy. He lent the money a month ago or a year ago. When is an arev chayav? Only in one circumstance. Halvehu vani noten lecha. When a man says to a malveh, you lend him money and I will be the arev, I'll pay you, then chayav. Shekein al emunoto hilvahu. Because the loan was made based on the trust of this arev. In other words, according to Ben Nanas, you can only become an arev if you generate the loan, not if you come in afterwards when it's collection time or any time after the loan was made. Rabbi Yishmael said, if you want to be wise, you should involve yourself in Dinei Mamonot, a beautiful, exhortative ending for Masechet Nezikin. You should involve yourself in Dinei Mamonot. There is no other field of study greater than them, meaning to teach you wisdom. They're like a spring that continues to grow forth. There's always more angles and more ways of looking at things, and it keeps you very, very sharp. And somebody really wants to study Dinei Mamonot, Yishamesh et Shimon Benanas, should come and be a student of Benanas. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel praised Benanas for his brilliant analogy that set aside the halakha as we had in the Mishnah and the psak that Rabbi Shmuel had originally presented. Okay, we're going to see this. Things are not so simple. We'll see that at the very end of the Gemara. Amar Ula. So Ula now presents the following. We have a machlokat Ula and Rabba about issue of Shibud. Dvar Torah. Mida oraita echad milva b'shtar v'echad milva alpeh govev nechasim mishubadim. Whether or not it's a milva b'shtar or an oral debt, you can collect from mishubadim. My tama, what's the reason? Shibuda d'oraita. The notion of shibud is a notion d'oraita, meaning the fact that when I have a debt, all of my property and anything that I own is now as a lien against that payment is d'oraita, and therefore even an oral debt you should be able to collect from your shubadi. Meaning, if I borrowed money from you without a shtar, just I'll pay edim, and then afterwards I sold some property and you come to collect from me and I have nothing left, you should be able to go after that property. But why did the rabbi say? So Ula has to answer our Mishnah. Why did they say that an oral debt you can only collect from Nechorin? Because there's a third party here who's going to be damaged. A guy bought property from me. He had no reason to think that this property was in a lien, because a milval peh isn't publicized. People don't know about it. And therefore he's going to lose. So yacha milv mishtar nami. So if that's the case, then even a milv mishtar you shouldn't collect. We're considered upset to lukuchot. The answer is hataminu ninu dafsidu avnav shayu. They blew it themselves. In other words, a milv mishtar is something there's a record of. You could check into it. It's well known. And these guys didn't do their due diligence of checking. They just bought some property without seeing if it's free and clear. They blew it. That's ula. Rabba Amar, Rabba takes the opposite position. Dvar Torah echad milv mishtar echad milval peh eino gavel mechosim nechorin. Really, no loan should ever be able to be collected from Mishubadim. My time a Shibud alav d'oraita, because it says the whole notion of Shibud isn't really there. Meaning, it's really not the case that when I borrow money, my property is Mishubad. Really, I owe you money, and that's it. So then he's got to answer the other half of the Mishnah, which is, why did the rabbis say that a milva that's in a shtar, you do collect from Mechosim Mishubadim? The answer is Kadesh Lotin Odel Bifnei Lovin, a consideration that we already saw several times in our parak. We do not want to slam the door in the face of people borrowing money, meaning we don't want to discourage lenders. And if a fellow knows that if he lends money and then subsequently the borrower sells his property, he may not be able to collect, so we say Milva Bishtar, you can collect. So Yachi Milval Peh Nami, so the same thing with Milval Peh. The answer is Hatam Leitle Kola. Milval Peh, as I mentioned before, is a quiet affair. People don't know about it. And therefore, because there's no call, there's no way the Lukuchot would know about it. And when they bought the property, they really had no way of checking whether or not it was free and clear. Now, Umi Amar Rabba Hachi, since when did Rabba say that Shibud Alav D'Oraita? V'ha Amar Rabba, Rabba himself said in the 8th parak, if you recall, in the context of the message from Eretz Yisrael where they sent and said that if a father lends money and then he dies, and they pay back the money, the Bechor gets to collect Pishnaim, even though the general rule is that a Bechor only gets Pishnaim b'muchzak and not b'ra'ui, meaning things that were in the father's possession when he died. Even though here it's a loan that's being collected after father died, Bechor gets Pishnaim. Rabba explained, Gavu karka yeshlo, only if they collected land from the borrower, then the Bechor gets Pishnaim. Gavu ma'on enlo, but if they collected money, then not. What is that? What's the implication? That Rabba holds that the minute that the guy borrowed the money, his land was meshubad, and therefore considered to be father's property, so that when father died, the Bechor, when he collects it, gets pishnayim. V'chitema epuch to Rabba l'ula udu ula l'Rabba. So maybe you want to switch ula and Rabba in our original positions, and maybe ula is the one who said shibud alav d'oraita, and Rabba said it is, because Rabba just now said did. V'amar Ula, but Ula clearly said Shibud d'oraita, because he said Dvar Torah Balchov Dine Beziburit. And the famous sugya that we have in the beginning of Bava Kama and in the 5th parak of Gittin, we know that he says that a Balchov really mid d'oraita should be able to collect Ziburit. And we know that because V'ha'ish Asher Atan Shelbo Yotzia Lech Avot Achutza, Avot is a cheap thing. That's how we know that a Balchov is really only collects Ziburit. But what does that mean? That means Mid D'Oraita, the Balchov has the rights to the cheapest land that the borrower has. That's Shibud. So Ula says it, and Rabba seems to say it. So where's the disagreement? The answer is that Rabba was not presenting his own position when he talked about the Bechor. He was just talking about the position of Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, who said the Bechor gets Pishnaim of the paid-up loan. He said that only applies to Karka, according to you guys. According to me, he doesn't get Pishnaim at all because there is no Shibud. Okay. Now, Rabu Shmuel, Damri Tavayu, Milval Peh, Eno Gove, Elo Mene Yoshim, Elo Mene Lakuchot. An oral debt cannot be collected either from the heirs or from the lekuchot. In other words, it's only from Bnei Chorin, from the guy who originally borrowed the money. My time, a shibud alav d'oraita. So again, the same position that Rabba held, shibud alav d'oraita. Rabbi Yochanan, Shimon, Lakish, Tavri Tavayu, Milval Peh, Govan, Bnei Yoshim, Bnei Lekuchot. They say, no, you can collect from either. My time, a shibud alav d'oraita. So in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yochanan Shlokesh had the exact opposite position of Rabban Shmuel and said Shibura is Doraita, and therefore an oral debt can be collected whether from the heirs or from buyers of the land, because the Shibur immediately attaches to the land. Meitave, we have a challenge against Rabban Shmuel. Hachofer bor Rishut Rabim, let's say a guy is digging a cistern in Rishut Rabim, which of course means he's Chayiv for Nezakin, and an ox fell on the guy digging the thing and killed him, patur. The ox owner is patur, because this guy had no right to be there. That's not the mark that concerns us. V'lo od ela she'im met hashor, and more, furthermore, if the shore dies, falling on this guy who dug a pit, yorshei balabor, chavim shalem dvei hashor levalav, the heirs of the guy digging the pit have to pay for the ox to the owner of the ox. Which means that a milvel peh, in other words, this guy's chiyuv to pay nezakin, which is a milvel peh, there's no shtar for it, is taken from the yorshim. So how can Rav and Shmuel say you don't collect from the yorshim? So Amar Rav Ila, Amar Rav. So Rav gave the answer, b'sha'amad b'din. Maybe this is a case where the guy got hit by the ox and then went to din and they found him chayiv, which means now it's already considered a milva b'shtar, and then he died, so they collect from the heirs. Vahara Goktani, but the Mishnah said he killed him. Ravadamarava Shasal Trefa. It doesn't mean he killed him. It means he wounded him mortally and he got to Din in the meantime. Rav Nachman Hatani Tana Meitvu Kvaro. But Rav Nachman had a version of this Mishnah in which the ox buried the guy in the boar. He knocked him over and buried him, and then the ox died, which means there was no point at which this guy came to Din. He wasn't a Trefa. He's dead right away. The very unlikely circumstance where the Dayanim are sitting on top of the boar as he's falling in and immediately say, Yerchayiv, so it's a Milva Bishtar. All right, one way or the other, we come out with the solution that the case where the heirs have to pay for the damage is some sort of a Milva Bishtar. All right, I'm Rav Papa, Hilchata, here's the final halacha. Milva al peh gov min ha-yorshin ve'eno gov min ha-lekuchot. We split the difference. An oral debt can be collected from heirs, but not from lekuchot. Govnei yoshin why kadesh shalotin odal b'fnei lovin. For a simple consideration, in other words, why we have compelling arguments in each direction to collect from yoshin and lekuchot or not to collect from them. So we end up deciding based on other considerations. We decide that you can collect from yoshin kadesh shalotin odal b'fnei lovin. You don't want to keep people from lending money. Guy's not going to lend money if he knows that the guy who he's lending to, if he dies, he won't be able to collect from the heirs. They call it, but you can't collect from the lekuchot because the lekuchot, they didn't know they bought land. An oral debt isn't something publicized, so there's no way for them to know. So they call it. Okay, the next thing in the Mishnah, in this line in the Mishnah, said that if you pull out a shtar that says basically I owe you, good. You collect from Bnei Chorin. So he asked Rabbi Yochanan, what if the guy's signature is already Mekuyim and Beitin? In other words, we know what his signature is. You could still only collect from Bnei Chorin. Which should be obvious, but Meitiv Rami Rachama Shlosha Gitin Psulin. We have the famous Mishnah at the end of Gittin. There's three kinds of Gittin that Lachatchil are possible from Niseit Avlad Kasher, but if the woman marries based on this faulty get, and then as a child, the child's not a mamzer. It's a psul de rabbanan. Veilin, what is that? Katav b'chtav yado v'en ala vedim. Let's say a guy writes a get, and he writes it in his own signature, means the Baal wrote it, and there's no edim. Yesh ala vedim v'en bozman, or there's edim, but there's no zman. Yesh bozman v'en mo'el erachad, or there's zman, but there's only one aid. Or there's also gittim psulim, and instead of vlad kosher. And Rabbi Lazar omer, fisha ain ala vedim, elash tanavo b'fnei edim. Even if there's a get with no edim on it, but he gave it to her in front of edim, it's kosher. V'govim n'chosim mishubadim, and she can collect her ktubah from n'chosim mishubadim. Which means that if you have a text that says, I owe you, and there's no edim on it, she can collect from mishubadim. The answer is, shani hatam mishak ktivah hud mishibed nafshei. As opposed to the IOU, which never had edim on it and was never written to be collected from Mishubadim, here the guy was writing a get. And his intent was, instead of signing edim on it, I'll give it in the presence of edim, and those are edim asira of Rabbi Elazar, and therefore it was originally written to have a shibun on it. And therefore, if subsequently he sold stuff, or subsequent to the marriage he sold stuff, then that's all included. Okay, now, Arav HaYosach HaChet Mishtarot, right, we have this line that's the last ruling that leads to the discussion of Rishmael and Rananas, which is if you have an Arev signed after the Eidim. Amar Rav, Kodem Chitum Shtar Ad Kodem Chatzim Mishubadim. He said, and by the way, if the Arev signed above the Eidim, then you can collect from the Arev even from Mishubadim, even from stuff the Arev owned at the time and sold. Lachar Chitum Shtar Ad Kodem Chatzim Bnei Chorin, but if it's below, then like the Mishnah says, only from Bnei Chorin. Now, Zimnin Amar Rav, sometimes Rav said, Afil Kodem Chitum Shtar Ad Kodem Chatzim Bnei Chorin. He contradicted himself, seemingly, and said that even if he signed before the Eidim, you could still only collect from Bnei Chorin. Kasha to Rav out of Rav, so we have a contradiction within Rav. So lo kasha ad chatav be ploni arev. If the text said ploni arev, not uploni arev, ploni arev, which means it's a separate statement, and therefore, even though there's Eidim are signed below it, they're signed on the shtar, not on that statement. Had chatav play uploni arev, as opposed to if they wrote I owe you money uploni arev. In which case, ploni being the arev is part of the general statement, and the testimony includes that, and you can collect from Mishubadim. So Rav really wasn't contradicting himself. He was addressing two different lashonot with a difference of a vav. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Echad Zeh Vechad Zeh Inu Gover L'Mechasim Bnei Chorin. V'Yafagav D'Chatav Be'Ponei Arev. Now that last part is not Rabbi Yochanan's statement. You'll see. First of all, you can tell from the language. Echad Zeh Vechad Zeh Inu Gover L'Mechasim Bnei Chorin. Echad Zeh Vechad Zeh means whether or not it says that the name of the Arev is above the Eidim or below the Eidim. And then we add, V'alf begav d'chatav be'uploni arev, does that mean even if you wrote uploni arev above the Eidim, you can't collect from Mishubadim? Why not? They're testifying to it. So Meitiv Rav, or Rav challenged Rabbi Yochanan, or the rule, this version of Rabbi Yochanan. Eidim achatum al she'ilat shalom beget. Let's say that their Eidim were signed on a get, but they're signed directly under where there's just a greeting. Pasul, chashir and shem al she'ilat shalom chatnu. Maybe they only signed on chita and she'ilat shalom and not on the get. And Rabbi Abahu said, I know from Rabbi Yochanan, which is critical, because Rabbi Yochanan himself, She'ilu pasul. If in the shtar he wrote, She'ilu bishlama, and greet her, it's pasul. If he said, U'she'ilu kasher, but if you write and ask, then it's kasher. Why? Because then their signature is going on everything, including Shilat Shalom, including the get. So it should also be, U'poni arev, should mean that the arev is a fully enmeshed in this star, and you should be able to collect from his Mishubadim. So, Achanami d'chatav ploni arev. Aha! So, the case where Rabbi Yochanan said, you can't collect this if it says ploni arev. So, Yachanu d'rav, if that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan and Rav are saying the same thing, which is that if the arev is, of course, below the Eidim, you can't collect from except from Nechorin. If he's above the Eidim, if it says ploni arev, only b'nei Chorin, uploni arev, you can collect from Mishubadim. So, the answer is, Eimav, Achanam Rabbi Yochanan, you're right. And Rabbi Yochanan is not saying something different from Rav. The text should have read, V'cheinam Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says the same thing as Rav. Okay, now we get to the story that ends the Masechet, the Rabbi Shmuel. Masa, the Baal of Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Rav Rabbachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Afa pisha kileis Rabbi Shmuel at Ben Nanas. Even though Rabbi Shmuel praised Ben Nanas, with great praise at the end of the Masechet, Halacha kamoto, the Halacha follows Rabbi Shmuel, and that is that we can collect from an Arev, even if he signed after the Edim, but of course only from Bnei Chorin. Did Rabbi Shmuel disagree with Rabbi Nanas about the case of the guy choking the other guy in the marketplace, where the third guy comes up and says, "You leave him alone, I'll pay you," and Rabbi Nanas says, "You're not chayiv." Did Rabbi Shmuel hold there also there that you're chayiv? Toshma, Dam Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yochanan, Chaluka, Rabbi Shmuel, Af Chanuk. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "Yeah, indeed, Rabbi Shmuel disagreed about that." So now halacha kamoto and halacha kamoto. Now the third question is, does the halacha follow Rabbi Shmuel? Or perhaps in that case we follow Ben Nanas and say the guy who comes in to save his fellow and says, leave him alone, I'll pay you, maybe he's not chayiv. So the answer is Toshma dechiata ravina Rabbi Yochanan, chaluka Rabbi Shmuel af pachanuk, vehalacha kamoto af pachanuk. We follow him even in that case. V'yomar Shmuel, chanuk v'kano miado. Let's say that the guy is choking the other fellow, and the other guy comes up and says, I'll pay, you leave him alone, and he makes a kinyan. Then, mishtabed. Now, that's critical because Shmuel clearly disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha follows Rabbi Shmuel even rechanuk, which means that the Arab's chayiv anyways, even if he doesn't make a kinyan. Shmuel evidently disagrees and says, you know what, the halacha follows benanas, and in the case of a chanuk, the Arev is not mishtabed, you come to save a guy's life and say, leave him alone, I'll pay you, you're not chayev, but if you make a kinyan, you're chayev. So clearly a regular Arev doesn't need a Kenyan according to Shmuel. It's only in this weird case of Chanuk where your intent is not to help him get a loan, but your intent is to save his life, you need a Kenyan. It's only an Arev made by the Beit Din. He doesn't need a Kenyan. Why? Habam by Kenyan. What's the reason? We'll see in a minute. V'hilchata, what's the halacha? Arev b'shat matan maot lo by Kenyan. When a guy is an Arev, and this goes back to the discussion in the Mishnah, when a guy is an Arev, at the point where the money is changing hands, you don't need a Kenyan ever. Achar matan maot by Kenyan, but if he becomes an Arev after the money's changed hands, then you need a Kenyan. Arev de Beit Din lo by Kenyan. An Arev made by the Beit Din does not need a Kenyan. Because of the hanah that the fellow gets, that the Beit Din is maming him, even though it's after matan maot, that's the hanah that he gets that's meshabed him. In other words, here's how it works. When you're an arev at the time that the maot are going, the fact that it's your trust that's getting this money to the borrower, that's the hanah that you're getting that allows you to be meshabed. If it's after matan maot, there's nothing to hang on to, therefore you have to make a kinyan. But if the Beit Din appoints you as an Arev, even after the case, in other words, a guy comes to collect, and the Lova is not around to be seen, and you want to protect his reputation, says, I'll be an Arev. Post Johnny-come-lately Arev. Then you have to make a Kenyan. But if you're done by Beit Din, then not, because the Hanah that you get from the fact that the Beit Din trusted you and put you in this position, that Hanah is enough to be Meshabed you. Hadran alach get pashut, slika la masachet bavabatra, hadran alach masachet nizakin, shakoach to all the lomdim. We've done a wonderful job, Baruch Hashem, together in studying and hopefully reviewing and masachet nizakin over the course of well over a year, something about a year and a half. And Amir Tzashem, in the next podcast, we'll begin with masachet Sanhedrin. Hopefully everybody will be attending a festive siyum and celebrating this wonderful achievement. And of course, the most critical thing is Chazara. You have to review. You have to go over it. And a wonderful piece of advice for Chazara is, to study the 30 chapters of Masachet Nizikin in the Mishnayot. And along the way, try to remember whatever the discussions were in the Gemara is a good way at least to start with the Chazara. Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast, we'll begin Masachet Sanhedrin. In the meantime, congratulations to everybody. And we'll see you in the next podcast. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. Shakoach.